Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, hi, bonjour, buongiorno, guten tag, bonsoir,
привет.
What's that?
Hi, in Russian. До свидания. That actually means goodbye.
Welcome in to Nobody Panic. It's nothing to do with languages. We just thought it'd be nice to start and just kind of say hi to our international listeners. I think we've got four.
Listen, and now we see you, and now you hear us in your native tongue. You're welcome.
Great start.
Oh, God. Come on in. I think this slightly chaotic energy is indicative of the theme of the podcast, which is about re-entering society, or how not to burn up on re-entry into the, what is that? What are they re-entering?
The post-pandemic apocalyptic era.
No, in space. What are you actually re-entering?
Oh, the atmosphere.
The atmosphere. Thank you so much. The atmosphere.
We have sort of touched on this, haven't we? Because we did an episode about how to basically have a conversation because we'd realised that that was going to be an issue. But that wasn't COVID specific. It then became a little, it had a little bit of that in it. But I think there is a very much, oh, it's just a very big time, isn't it? And I think I feel exactly the same as I did last year. Also, we're in the UK, obviously. And also, we should just say that the podcast each week we do a how-to, and this is just something that we think is quite relevant at the moment in the UK. So obviously, if you're listening in other places, it'll be all different. But there will be a point, hopefully, where you'll have to re-enter into society, God willing and God bless. But in the UK at the moment, at the time of recording this, things are tentatively starting to open back up again. Similarly, they did last summer, and I've started to feel exactly the same as I did last summer, even though the situation is different. And also, what I've noticed about it is I have very irrational feelings. Essentially, as ever, using this podcast as a sort of therapy session for myself.
Yeah, it's I don't think they are irrational. I think they are rational. I think, like, there was so much going on, and I think this weird, you know, like, oh, June 21st, we'll all just be like, and done. Be like, are you kidding? Like, everyone is completely bananas. Like, we're going to have to climb ourselves so slowly and tentatively out of this hole. You can't just be like, oh, that's done now. Back to normality, you know, like, I've been on the tube twice, I think, in a year, and it's now, and it used to be absolutely empty. And then I rode it this weekend, and it was like, certainly wasn't busy by any stretch of what it used to be like in the past, but it definitely was busier, the busiest I've seen it. And I was just thinking, when I lived in Mile End and I had to go to work for 9 a.m, I was always late, but I was stood on that platform at Mile End heaving, and you would take like three or four tubes would come before you could get on, and then you would squash yourself up against the glass and you would go to work, and then you wouldn't even bat an eyelid. You'd be like, that's just my day. And I was like, I stood on the platform, I saw the tube come in, I remembered this memory, and it felt like a memory belonging to a different person. I was like, that's what we used to do. There's so many things that are going to feel so alien and weird coming back into re-entry, you know, that are, you know, they're the smorgasbord. They're from the social to the physical to, like, are we touching people? Are we this? Like, there's so much going on. Basically, the take home of this podcast, if you're busy, if you've got to crack on, I'll tell you the spoiler now. It's everyone's bananas, and you can do it at your, you can, you don't, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Like, if there's things you're like, I don't ever want to do that thing again, you don't have to, you know?
Well, unless it's like a job and you've got to work.
I say you don't have to. But you've
spoken like a true creative person who does have a job. Before we actually tackle this, let's do the thing that we do at the beginning of most and all episodes, where we say what adult thing we've done this week to make ourselves feel a little bit more grown up. Tessa, what is your adult thing this week?
Mine is that I have got a personal trainer. Oh, clang, clang, clang. Sorry.
Honk, honk, honk.
Honk, honk, honk. Here she comes. Make way.
For her and her abs.
Here they go.
Dragging her abs behind her.
Our long-term listeners, and indeed those, and IRL, I mean, many of you will know that I have, I'm profoundly unstrong. And
I think the term there is weak.
We don't like to use that in the personal training community.
Sorry. Non-strong. Got it.
We like to say the non-strongs. So
just also, anyone who isn't a long-term listener, I'm just going to refresh people that there was one time Tessa went to a physio and they said she had no abs and one big leg.
He did say that. So a general theme with me is I am lowly broken in a large number of things. And I do have one, and when they like analyzed my running, they were like, they honestly like shook their head and were like, wow, you've got one strong leading leg and one, your pelvis is like twisted out. It's just dragging along behind. Anyway, the point is, I thought I would finally address the non-strong issue. And I've got a personal trainer. She's absolutely marvelous. She calls me babe. She says, I've done a really good job. I say, thank you very much. And I really, really, and obviously it's an expense, but if you too are feeling that you, when you like do, if you try and put YouTube on and like follow along and you're like, I don't think I'm doing this right, then I really, really recommend, even if you only see them for like two or three sessions, just seeing a human being who can say like, you know, no part of your body is in the correct position right now, you know, and just to be like, if you try like this, and just like her saying like, if you put your, do you want to do it with the other hand? And then you're like, oh my God, I've done it. You know? Anyway, so that's me on my journey to strength. So
well
I'm feeling,
done.
I'm pretty, pretty good, Stevie. What's, and also it's sort of re-entry, it's sort of on board with re-entry, isn't it? I've been like trying to feel good in myself, coming back in to meet people. What's yours, Stevie?
I bought a long time ago from a charity shop, and I say a long time ago, I'm talking 6 years ago, this old of ornate mirror that I was like, oh, I'll fix that up. Didn't, obviously. I only painted it gold.
Wow.
So it looks like a beautiful princess mirror. Bought some non-toxic metal paint, because when I went to buy it, I was like, oh no, the animals, which is a constant source of problem. I was like, I bet I won't be able to find anything. And I painted it, bought some paintbrushes from Pound Stretcher. £1.75. I thought everything in there was supposed to be a pound. Anyway.
No, you think you're Pound Land. Pound Stretcher, we stretch the pound beyond the pound.
Oh God, they've got me again.
That is how they get you in there.
But
for those of you listening at home, it looks exactly like the mirror from Beauty and the Beast.
That was what I was going for.
It's about A4 size. It looks exquisite. Thanks. It's now got a sort of gold gilt trim. Absolutely beautiful, Steve. You should be so proud of that.
Thank you. If anyone's interested in what the non-toxic paint is called, it's called Vintage with Grace. Great paint. Okay.
Great paint, great mirror, looking great.
Great bod. So, the re-entering into society. Mm. So, I suppose to start, it's always nice to sort of give our own, you know, how do you feel about re-entry? What are the, obviously, oh, I'm mad, but like, what are the main things that you feel sort of strange about? Apart from the tube, which you have also said.
The tube I feel crazy about. I don't know, like, what the etiquette will be when you see people. Will we all be in crowded spaces? Like, that to me feels very weirdly stressful. And I am deeply not a... I've really lucked out that I'm not particularly fazed by germs or dirt or people or things. I know it can absolutely take over people's lives. And I'm very aware that I'm very... low maintenance.
I think too far the other way.
Much too far the other way. Way too low maintenance in regards to health and hygiene. And so like that's never particularly affected me before. And now I really, really feel that, which I've never really felt before. I feel very weird about like conversation and things. Like I, you know.
Oh, yeah. I met someone in the park the other day and there's two people and we met in a park. Social distance, of course. But for the first hour, not, we couldn't look each other in the eye for more than like 30 seconds. And everyone was like, we all looked like we were like hand puppets. We were like bobbing all over the place. There was loads of like hand gesticulation. No one, everyone was like talking over each other. We all sounded not like ourselves at all. Everyone's voice was slightly high pitched. It was very strange.
It's very strange. I think I've said this before, but I've attempted to see people and I, you know, we were all like just hysterical. And then I resorted to shouting me when I wanted to say something. I didn't remember how to I didn't remember how you joined the conversation. I was like, me now, which is wild. And then I have been nervous about is like, you know, I think when we went into this lockdown, there was a very freeing feeling. There was no FOMO because it was shut for everybody. And there was something very freeing and like, leveling about being like, it's shut for everybody. Even if you're a Hollywood superstar, like, I mean, and then they immediately like sort of were snuck past the post very quickly, but right at the very beginning it was like, this is everyone. And now this, everyone's sort of coming out at their own pace, and it does feel like who's doing what. And I'm like, are people having parties and not inviting me? Like, what are we all doing? I feel like it's not having your finger on the pulse feeling about like, is everyone I know not doing anything, or is everyone I know doing things without me? And then my final one, I guess, is like, we had this whole opportunity to really like fix society. And we didn't. Like, that I think is, you know, so much bigger than not being able to have a conversation. But it's like, it felt like we were given this sort of once in a lifetime opportunity, and I don't know if we did good by it.
Oh, I'd say that we do know, and it's a no.
I was given a sort of positive spin on the experience just in case.
No, it's good actually. Yeah, no, it's good that you've done that.
What are yours? What are your personal ones?
My thing is the FOMO thing, the fear of missing out, the kind of, and it's happened very quickly where I've suddenly, and this is very specific to the industry that I'm in, but I think it's, you know, you can extrapolate it to pretty much anything. Where, so personally, you know, I haven't done any live comedy for 18 months. And I've done other things that have been very helpful for the very lockdown specific, you know, online stuff and whatever. And I feel very like comfortable doing that. But now it's like, oh, but that's not relevant. That's not going to be relevant anymore. And now I have to go back to doing, and suddenly people are coming out with, oh, I'm just performing my new hour. And I'm like, what? Where did you, how did you test that out? Where have you written that? What have you been doing? And the thing is I don't mind because I'm not particularly desperate to do, but it's just automatically now it's like, what's everyone doing? Oh dear, should I have done that? And I'm really susceptible to that. And I wish I wasn't. So I get very frustrated at myself for being like that, but I can't help it. Like, it's just, before it was very easy to be like, oh, I'm not getting any auditions, or I'm not getting this, or I'm not doing that, because lockdown, is the pandemic on? But now it's like, oh, my excuse is gone again. So now,
yes, my excuse is gone. Yes, I think that's a big thing, isn't it? And I think actually we will, even though we've all hated lockdown in our individual ways, I think we all will miss that, like, you know, people who, you know, we will miss the excuse of being like, oh, well, can't do that, it's lockdown, you know? Like, oh, I have to do things.
And that's a very, obviously a very privileged stance. But I think as well, even if lockdown has been very tricky and really just incredibly stressful, then there's a fear that, well, hang on. So if this was what it was like in lockdown, when the world had sort of literally locked down, now things go back to, in quotation marks, normal, is it going to ramp up even more? Like, well, what's going to happen?
Even if you know, and I think people have, I've absolutely hated it, but like, I think that excuse factor in every industry for every person of every age has been there, of being like, yeah, my homework wasn't good, it's lockdown. Like, yeah, I didn't do this. Yes. It's lockdown. Like, I'm not doing my best workouts. Like, yeah, my body, you know, I'm out of shape. Yeah, I haven't done this. It's locked. Like, that has been an aspect that, and that I think is the universal anxiety of like, that excuse is going to go now, and we're going to have to be faced with what people got up to in their lockdowns. It's very much that sort of, everyone said they weren't revising, and then you get there and everyone has revised.
That's very true. There's a real fear that you'll kind of find out that suddenly everybody is actually been really productive. And as well, it'll be the same as ever. Yes, someone might have done something, or, you know, been productive, but it's been like, it's been over a year. So you don't know what they've also been through. They may have, I've got a friend who was really, really productive right from the start of lockdown. And it's completely like turned his career around. It's really cool. And the reason he did it is because he was in an absolutely terrible place. Like some really bad stuff was going on in his personal life, and it was an escape. So it's like, as ever, we're being taught again that lesson that you can't tell what is going on. You can just see the good stuff. You don't see the bad stuff.
You mustn't be jealous. You
mustn't be jealous, even though it's impossible not to be. And you should see jealousy, as we've spoken about in previous episodes, see things like jealousy as being, they are positive emotions that are showing you where you need to go. So if you have to ask why you feel jealous about that. Okay, what can you do to make you yourself feel like you're moving forwards? Mm. You know, there are lots of things that you can do that are positive.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
There are some things that I've been looking around and kind of trying to, for myself, seeing just sort of things I can do and things that we can do to maybe ease this process, which is going to be difficult and compounded by the fact that these dates and reopening times could be taken away from us. There could be a third wave. Who knows? People have changed profoundly during this time as well, and that is very difficult. But there's one thing that I found that was very helpful that I think I'm going to really try very hard to do, which is to recognize what you can control and to recognize what you can't control, and to give yourself more of the former and less of the latter. So like, there's literally no point beating yourself up over things that you can't control. You can't control restrictions being moved willy-nilly, taken away, put there, then told that you can't control that. You can't control how your friends feel as well. And if your friends are feeling a little bit more antisocial than you, if your friends are being a bit more social than you, if your friends want to do things that you're not comfortable with, if your friends have become massive conspiracy theorists, like, you can't control other people's behavior. You can only control your own. And like you said right at the start, Tessa, it's okay to not be fine with the pace that maybe other people are re-entering at. You just have to make sure that you don't burn up. Other people are built differently. They can go straight through. That's great for them. But if you're not able to do that, that's fine. But you've got to recognize as well when it's legitimately that and when it's an anxiety that is irrational and holding you back. So it's always good to try and push your boundaries a little bit to try and see, okay, I'm uncomfortable with this, but is there a way I can take baby steps towards it? Like your thing on the tube, like, there is going to be a point where you're going to have to board a train and it will be full. So, you know, rather than shy away from that completely, sometimes it might be good to be like, okay, I'm aware it's going to be busy, but I've got my mask. I know how I'm going to be. If it's too busy and I feel really uncomfortable, then I can always get off the train. But try to kind of test yourself and make sure that you're doing things that broaden your horizons rather than make them smaller and smaller and smaller, because then you run the risk, and it's very likely, and it's going to be a lot of this, where people just, their worlds become smaller and smaller and smaller, and it becomes a problem that then this period of time will now affect them for years and years and years to come, which you will anyway, but you want to kind of minimize that, don't you, I guess?
I think that exactly what you're saying. I think the message is like, go for two steps forward, one step back, and accept that like, you'll be like, here I go, okay, too much, you know, rather than no steps forward. Like, just accept that you'll be like, push yourself every day, be like, oh, I didn't enjoy it. Take a step back, keep that mentality going, expect and assume that it will be too much and you will need to take a step back, rather than being like, I know that, so I'm not even going to take any steps. Like, yes.
And looking at the steps that you are excited about, like your own little roadmap, like what are things that you're comfortable doing that you can look forward to? Is it a picnic in the park? Is that looking at for the weather, finding a friend? That's something that you're comfortable with. So do more of that. Like, but if you're not comfortable, when your job starts up, are there elements about your job that you're uncomfortable with, your commute, say, or, you know, is there ways that you can do more work from home? Is there ways that you can talk to your boss and try and be a bit more flexible in the way, like looking at the things that you're most not looking forward to and asking the question, okay, well then how can I change it? And I know we joked before about just quit your job, babe. It's really easy, just find another job. No, that's really, really difficult. But in saying that, there is always a way, and this is the thing that this doing this podcast has really helped me with, is that there's always a way to change something, especially the things that you think you can't change. You can actually change them. We are naturally resistant to change because our brain is trying to keep us safe. So obviously don't just quit your job if you don't have another job to go to and you can't find another job. But even just saying to yourself, okay, I don't think I want to do this job anymore because I've been dreading going back to it. Okay, I'll go back to it. But in my head, I'm going to be looking for other opportunities. So then already you'll feel more calm because you're taking control again. You're never as out of control as you think you are.
Very profound. I agree completely.
Too profound.
If anything, too profound. I think it is that of being like, oh, look, you have managed to survive. Even if this year felt unsurvivable for whatever you've been going through, you have made it this far. And so, you know, make it worth it that you then change what you can and cannot control about your life and be like, okay, I managed to get through with what we were doing. Like, what can I personally take from this and be like, this is actually what I want to do with my life, or this is the way that I need to work, or this is the thing I want to do, or this is what I enjoyed or hated or whatever. I'd like to talk about enthusiasm and the lack of it. I'd like to talk about something that I think is happening to people, which is a sort of, you know, like you were saying, what's your personal roadmap? What are you excited for? I think there is a real issue at the moment of a sort of like deadening feeling of just like numbness, even when they are positive things that are coming up or people invite you out or you go to something or good, even good things happening, just like the response being numbness. And I think that is, for example, very recently in our industry, lots of these art industry grants came out and people who had worked extremely hard putting their applications together were awarded in some cases very, very large sums of money, which is fantastic. And the people I spoke to who had been on the receiving end of it, the general feeling from all of them was like, I feel numb. I don't feel anything, even though this should be such celebration. This should be like, oh my God, we got this money. This is so exciting. And I think that is because people have deadened themselves in order to cope with the sort of relentless bad news. And as a result, we don't know how to feel positive anymore either. We've sort of made ourselves this middle way, you know, to sort of get through it. And therefore it's made the bad stuff easier to deal with. And we're more capable of being like gritting our teeth and sort of going through it and not letting in the sort of huge insurmountable, like, oh my God, this global pandemic, what is the impact? Oh my God, this is so big. Because we're like, no, thank you, close that door. We've also closed the door on the positive feelings.
Yeah, also as well, on top of that, for me anyway, it's put in perspective so much stuff. I remember right throughout it, I've got lots of friends that work in the arts, that work in creative jobs, who have sort of questioned, like, been like, oh, maybe I should have been like a nurse. Do you know what I mean? That kind of feeling of like, what's the point of what I do? Which is not true, because there's so much point. Look at how important being able to entertain people, to be able to, like, you know, make people feel a little bit better about things. Of course, there's a point to it. I'm not saying that there's no point. What I'm saying is it has kind of made things like that for some people feel a little bit like, well, hang on, okay, cool, but the world is broken. And COVID, like you said, has not only did we have a chance to change society, it's shown the divisions within society and shown the problems with the infrastructure of the country and the world and the way in which we live to be profoundly more broken than even I mean, I was already like, oh, Britain is in trouble. But I still was surprised by some of the things. It was very difficult. Yeah, it can make your own little, you know, and I'm in quotation marks, silly little achievements feel very nothingy and pointless in the face of this massive big monster of what the world is at the moment. And that's so unhelpful because you can't function if you can't be positive, and if you can only recognize the bad things but you can't recognize the good things, and you're only going to feel numb, like you say, and kind of deadened and stuff. So how can we be more enthusiastic, Tessa? How can we?
Thank you so much for asking me, Stevie. I don't know. No,
I'm glad you brought it up.
I think it's just about being aware of it and not freaking out of it, not freaking out when you're like, I feel completely numb inside, apparently I don't have any emotions anymore.
Oh well, that's just me now.
Exactly, it's not just you. Humans are so unfathomably adaptable. Like, we will look at the way we've adapted to lockdown. We will also adapt slowly to getting out of it. You used to be able to smoke in clubs. Like, you used to be able to smoke while you were delivering a baby. Like, you used to be able to do all kinds of things that we just took totally for granted. Like, you will adapt. You will get back into it. You will remember how to, like, open your heart to positive experiences. And I think it's just about, like, letting, like, sort of trust and joy and those sort of things gently creep in, not going into everything with one foot outside the door being like, it'll probably be cancelled or it'll be this. Like, and like people who have weddings, like what an unbelievably tough thing to go through, to have multiple times had to put it in the diary, then cancel it again, you know, and therefore you go into everything with this like, oh, well, don't get your hopes up. And I think it is about just being like, let your hopes get up, you know, like let things slowly,
even if they do even if the news is bad and you can't do it again, you've had that period of time of looking forward to it.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly
worth it.
It's like if it's going to be cancelled anyway, your hope, you didn't jinx it by hoping, so, and it doesn't make it doesn't make the worst feelings worse, I think, by hoping. Like, let it in, like feel something, you know, like why not.
I understand that. Also, I think as well, because I had a nice thing that happened like the other week where like I was just about to say I won a silly little award. I felt embarrassed about it, and then it wasn't until certain people got in touch and sent me these like such lovely, like just really nice, like they basically got excited for me and sent me such lovely, like, someone who is a friend of mine sent me this voice note just being like, you work really hard and you've worked really hard for years, and it's so nice to see like that's just, you know, awards aren't everything, but like you got recognition finally for like putting in the hours, and really this isn't just something that you flippantly. And it's really like I felt something. I didn't feel it, but I felt something, and I think that taught me that sometimes it's nice to share things with other people because enthusiasm is infectious, and you can. It's so much easier to be enthusiastic about other people's achievements, isn't it, than your own. So use that to your advantage. Like, you'll be more enthusiastic about someone else doing something, getting a promotion, getting a job, getting married, getting engaged, getting a dog, getting whatever, than the person themselves. So that works both ways. So, you know, let people celebrate almost for you, and then by default with you, so that you can feel it as well. Help yourself feel something through the feelings.
Help yourself feel something, mate. It's such a human issue, isn't it? Of being like, someone being like, oh, you got this thing, and you being like, oh, yeah, well, it's nothing. You know,
it's
like,
stupid.
Stupid. Look at you being like, it's a silly little award, stupid little show, stupid little nothing. Be like, what the fuck is wrong with us? Like, just say, yeah, thank you. You don't have to have, you know, it's okay to feel pride, and it's okay to, you know, not say, oh, it won't come to anything, or like, yeah, it's, you know, you can celebrate the mini achievements, and yeah, I don't know, but yeah, you're exactly right. Just push that. If you can't do it for yourself, just do it relentlessly for the people around you, and you be their boost because they'll be feeling the same way as you. Boost someone else up if you can't boost yourself.
As well, finding somebody who feels similarly to you about this re-entry period is very helpful as well, because sometimes you can feel a bit isolated and feel like everyone else is absolutely fine and really embracing it, actually. But then there will be people that aren't, that are having, or that are anxious about other elements of it, but just speaking to somebody who isn't just like, yeah, will make you feel less alone.
I think truly, the amount of people truly thinking yeah is Very
small. No, of course, but there's a lot of people who aren't talking about how they feel. And then you can just feel like, oh God, I'm the only one who seems to worry about this. Whereas everyone else is like, pints in the park. And you're like, yeah, but what if I can't speak or I say me every time I've got to talk?
I think just accept that you absolutely will be saying me. Communicate. Yes. Like the more that you can just honestly and openly be like, hello, everyone, I'm coming, but I am completely bonko. Here I come. Yeah. My birthday in September fell in the sort of 4-day week when they were suddenly like, you can have 30 people inside. They were like, sorry, we fucked it. Get back outside. And I had 5 people on to sit on my, to climb out and sit on my roof. And I remember being like, oh, I'm tense because it's my birthday and I've got all my birthday tension. Why is everybody else being so crazy? And then afterwards I was like, oh yeah, because of the pandemic. Like, and you know, it just takes everyone. And it wasn't until like someone was like, this has actually been very nice. I've been very, very tense for a long time. It's my first time. And everyone's like, oh, me too. You know, like as soon as people come, there's no point all of you sort of plowing ahead with this, like, I'm fine. We're all just fine now. It's done. Be like, no, just admit it. Just acknowledge it. And I really, really very profoundly feel that the 20s, exactly like the last 20s, are going to have this really exciting renaissance of like art and music and culture and fashion. And people are going to be wearing things with this like, fuck it, like this is who I am, this is what I want to wear. Why would I just wear this sort of black smock when I want to wear all these things? And I really think that's coming, but it is not coming immediately. Like, don't expect it to arrive on June 22nd and just be like, oh, here we are. Like, it's going to take a long time. So just be, you know, just give yourself a chance.
Give yourself a chance. And yeah, and be aware that everyone, as we all know, everyone's at their own pace and their own speed. And it doesn't mean people don't like you or aren't your friend or that, like, and as well, yeah, look at your, if you're frightened about life returning to how it was before, ask yourself why and really interrogate that and really know that it doesn't have to. That's up to you. Yeah. It feels like it's not, but it really is up to you. You don't have to stay in that job ultimately. You don't have to stay in that flat. You don't have to stay, you can do whatever you like.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. It's
we will get there and we'll see you on the other side of it, which will be fascinating. At one point, we'll end up recording the podcast in the same room. I don't even know. I can't even fathom it. But it will happen.
If that's one of our things, be like, I don't want to see her again. Be like, great.
Like, you know what? That's fine. It'll make the podcast difficult, but it's fine. If you have any episode suggestions that you'd like to do, this wasn't an episode suggestion per se, but it feels like it's very much an undercurrent of all the suggestions we've had for the last like few months, but it was also me being frightened. Do email us nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com and we are working through your wonderful suggestions. We sometimes email back, we sometimes get overwhelmed and can't keep up and don't, but we do read all of them, so thank you very much. Tessa, do you want to give the old social meds?
Yes, I do. It's nobodypanicpod@gmail.com. Bugger.
That's the, that's
okay,
the
it's at nobodypanicpod. And then you just stop. You don't add any more. That's the Twitter handle. Personally, you can find me on @TessaCoates. And you can find Stevie on @StevieMartin. But guys, the S is a 5.
It's not Stevie Martin. It's @StevieM.
Jesus Christ.
Good Lord. And we wonder why we don't give Tessa the social media.
Oh, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard.
It's very difficult. There's too many apps and names. But yes, we will see you next week. Do be kind to yourself. Map out your own little roadmap of things that you're excited to do. But also be aware of the things that you're frightened to do and look at what you can do to take steps to change it.
Yeah. Be nice to yourself. Communicate your way through. Communicate. You're not alone, basically. Everybody not feels alone. Pretty much exactly as you feel. So don't worry. We're all in this. And yeah, see us again.
See us again next week.
See us again next week. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.